The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Send me a Congress that supports the right to choose. I promise you, I'll restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land again.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Ugh, how horrible. Every time I hear that, it never gets old. It's like the first time I heard it, I'm just as repulsed by those comments as I have ever been. And, you know, I talked about the power of the Eucharist and the importance of prayer. We need to pray. Pray for your president. Pray for Joe Biden. All right. Pray for Donald Trump. Pray for our Congress and those who sit on the Supreme Court. Let's pray for those who make decisions. Pray for your fellow citizen. I mean, it's crazy how disconnected we are. I was watching some data a little bit earlier today on the news. And, you know, polling numbers, they come and they go. They change a whole litany of different things. Right now, Trump supposedly, according to, I think, a CNN poll, has like a six-point lead. I had the CBS feed in the background here on, and they're saying three of the major polls have them neck and neck. I don't know how true that is. But they say, you know, when it comes to economy, Trump crushes. When it comes to death, when it comes to abortion, yeah, it's a runaway. It's a slam dunk for Joe Biden. You know what else they said, too? And I'm not here to get too political. I really want to talk more about life. The betting favors right now Joe Biden as being the president. And a lot of people find that hard to believe. But right now, odds are on Joe Biden to be reelected. And if that happens, you just heard him, right? He wants to make sure Roe v. Wade becomes the law of the land. And ever since the Supreme Court issued the Dobbs decision and overturned Roe v. Wade, you would think the pro-life movement would have been motivated to, you know, pick up momentum from that particular decision. Instead, it seems like we were caught on our back foot. The pro-abortion forces knew how to push the right buttons to get what they wanted. We saw what happened in the midterms, pushing the decisions to states left places like New York and California becoming abortion meccas. And that's what they are right now. Pro-abortion forces pushed forward amendments to allow abortion in places like Ohio. What happened in Ohio? What happened to you guys? What handily? Now they're trying the same strategy in Florida, hoping to make abortion there legal for any reason up till birth. I mean, does that resonate with you all? You hear what I'm saying? Abortion illegal for any reason up to birth. Whatever happened to rare, right? Safe. Abortion legal up till birth, up to the crown of that head is pushing out. It's crazy. So right now we got, 14 states where abortion is completely illegal, 7 states where it's legal up to 6 to 12 weeks. In the other 29 states, abortion is legal up to either 22 weeks viability or even up to birth. And I'm working with a woman here who is pregnant. She's 8 weeks away from giving birth. You look at this woman, and I'm thinking, I wonder why her stomach is protruding. I wonder what's in there. I mean, the thought of abortion up to birth. Maggie, let me ask you about this. I mean, you know what it's like. You can barely sleep. Your clothes, you know, you've got to get maternity clothes. Life for Maggie Carosa has changed.
Yes, it has.
The thought of the legislation of allowing abortion up to viability, you know, up to birth is just, it's mind-boggling to me.
We're no better than our ancient ancestors. You know, you hear about in ancient Rome, sometimes they would just leave babies out, exposure, and just leave them out and kill them if they didn't want them. Honestly, this seems just like a more high-tech version of that. There's nothing new under the sun. Yeah. People are the same as they always have been.
It's such a good point, too, because ancient Rome would do that. They'd have what they call baby exposure, infant exposure. You didn't like the child that had a cleft lift or whatever, right? You just put it in the gutter, walk away, let it die. And that's where we are today. You know, one of the problems we face as pro-lifers is that abortion has now gone primarily chemical. So Maggie talks about this new kind of antiseptic, if you will, invisible type of process. It's really quite horrible. I know my next guest, who's going to be joining me, does a lot of sidewalk counseling outside of abortion clinics, trying to persuade women to keep their child. Now, that mission has become even harder. Why? Because pills are being mailed everywhere in the country, and a young girl can take it in the privacy of her own home. And dealing with that is a key issue going forward. But we have got forces in this country that want death. They don't care who gets injured by it. I'm joined today by the executive director of the Pro-Life Action League. Eric Scheidler joins me today. I hope you'll check him out. He's got a website. It's called prolifeaction.org, prolifeaction.org. And today I'm going to get you plugged into something that will change the way you look at life. And you might say, Drew, you know, you and Eric can talk about this, but I don't really feel qualified. What if somebody says something to me about IVF? Or what if somebody says, I don't know anything about these abortion pills. I don't know what they do. I don't even know when life begins. Some people say it's a clump of tissue. I mean, you got all these confusions. There's a little booklet I have in my hand. I keep it in the studio. It's called Sharing the Pro-Life Message. And I'm telling you what, it's tiny. It's probably 2 inches by 4. And it takes you through, it gives you abortion facts and pro-choice arguments and questions about the law and info on Planned Parenthood and so much more. This belongs in the back of every single church, in every single Catholic school and Christian school, every pro-life school. This belongs in everyone's personal spiritual library. And I love it. I came across it and I said to Eric, look, we got to talk about where we are as a nation, but we should also talk about the tools that people need to be better armed. And he's in studio with me today. Eric, it's good to have you back. I don't know where Peter came from.
I have a brother, Peter, and he helped my father with his memoir. So I think that's
good to have you back, Eric.
Great to be with you, Drew.
I talk for 3 straight hours. I'm going to trip. That's so funny. So, hey, first of all, congratulations on this booklet. It's a must. But give me, before we talk about anything else, your assessment of where we are. I broad brushed what happened after Dobbs. Right. And the landscape of the fight for life is changing. Off air, you and I were talking about your truth tour. And, you know, Father Frank Pavone, or Frank Pavone, I should say now, he's a former priest, once said abortion in this country will never come to an end until people see it for what it really is. And it's horrific. To Maggie's point, into this abortion pill controversy, it's antiseptic. It's invisible now. Yeah, well, give me your big picture.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you and the listeners. You know, I and many leaders in the pro-life movement, I think, are still trying to find the way forward in this strange new world that we're in now since Roe v. Wade was overturned. I mean, it's a kind of an event that people anticipated, talked about. I honestly didn't think I was going to see it in my lifetime. So when it came to pass, it was a real shocker. And we really weren't prepared. We weren't prepared especially for this direct democracy business, the referenda all around the country, and how to respond to that. And it may take us a few more years to figure it out. We weren't prepared for the backlash that some polling suggests, some survey suggests, may have actually increased abortion. We've certainly seen a dramatic shift in people's attitudes. The pro-choice label is being adopted more than ever before. It used to be pretty even, 50-50 pro-life, pro-choice. That's shifting. We're seeing more and more people, especially in Generation Z, that are willing to say that they don't want to see any limits at all on abortion. And that was always a real minority position, but that segment of people who don't want to see any limits at all, gestational, disability, abortion for sex selection, abortion very late in pregnancy, and that's a new moment too. But what I am sure of, and what I'm confident of, is that we are not going to be able to turn this around. We're not going to be able to be advocates for unborn babies if we don't all take responsibility for this. You cannot sit on the sidelines and watch this unfold and just be asking questions and wondering where it's going to all go. We need to each and every one of us take a part in that. But I don't want to just lay out that gauntlet there and say, hey, everybody, you're responsible for ending abortion. I want to give them the tools, the techniques, the approach, the ethos that will allow them to actually do that, to make a difference, to change someone's mind, to bring them around on the abortion issue, or at least to break down the energy of their support for abortion, to instill some doubt, at least get them to respect your opinion and adopt maybe even a more neutral position than they do. All of these things are victories we can achieve one-on-one.
My guest today, Eric Scheidler, it's good to have him here with us today. And I want to do this too. I want to open the phones for you. If you want to join us in this conversation, maybe you're in the fight for life for a long time, maybe you totally disagree. Maybe you're pro-abortion and you think it's a good thing. We're more than glad to take your calls and to talk to you about it. If you want to share your views on where we are, feel free to do that. The number to get in, 888-914-9149. In terms of the changing landscape, you know, we've got in vitro right now. We have abortion pills. We have things that aren't the same necessarily in terms of the gruesome nature of an abortion, right? So it's, even if you win the abortion issue, you still have, you know, in vitro and a lot of other life issues as well. The water seems to be getting muddier, not clearer right now.
Yeah, it's like whack-a-mole. I mean, every time we think we've answered a question, a new one pops up, and questions we weren't expecting. And I'll be honest with you, this seventh edition of Sharing the Pro-Life Message doesn't have any content about in vitro fertilization in it. I just wrote down a note to myself, we need to address that in the next one, because that came out of left field when we had that case down in Alabama, that suddenly percolated to the top, because it wasn't something you really ever heard much about. There was no controversy involved, and there really isn't a controversy. And we as Catholics recognize that there are right and wrong ways to go about trying to deal with the problem of infertility. But almost nobody else in the culture ever thinks about those matters. And here we are having to talk about these things. So I understand people feeling a little overwhelmed. And, you know, maybe one thing we could do here is ask listeners, what is a tough question you've had to deal with or that you've thought of? What's one you're afraid someone will ask you and you don't know quite what to say? Because that's what this handbook is designed to help you deal with.
I love it. All right, we'll take your calls. 888-914-9149. What are your questions? You know, what have you been approached by? And did you have trouble answering it? Feel free to tap into Eric's comments. You want to start or you want to go ahead and...
As we're waiting for people to call
in... We have some calls if you want.
Great.
We'll start with your thing.
Kind of anticipated a little bit. You know, the first section of this handbook, Sharing the Pro-Life Message, which you can get at prolifeaction.org, is called How to Share the Pro-Life Message. Because, and you know this really well, Drew, because you're involved in Catholic media, it's not enough to have the right answers. You can't just digest the catechism and then give you a microphone to go on relevant radio.
Right, exactly.
You need to know how to engage with people, how to win over their confidence. And there's a beautiful section at the front of this book, 10 Guidelines for Sharing the Message. And I'll just start with the first one. Listen and pay attention. It's so hard to do, especially if you feel like you got all the answers or you got all the zeal, even if you don't have all the answers.
Right.
People love to be listened to, and it also gives you a chance to think. You know, you're listening to someone present their case. And that's my number one piece of advice to people. You know, I've heard so many folks say to me, oh, we had an argument about abortion, and I said this and this, and I really put him in his place. That shut him up.
I agree.
Dude, if you'd shut up the person you're talking to, more likely than not, that's because they've decided you're an unreasonable person and they don't want to give you any more ammo. They've walked away because they've given up.
Yep.
You want to keep people talking, not shut them up. You know, we want to, and listening is the key to that.
It's such a great point. I use it with the faith too, not just the pro-life abortion issue. I often think, you know, I'm not going to convert anybody by beating them over the head with, you know, the catechism of the Catholic Church, a Bible quote or an encyclical. That's not going to do anything, right? It's how I live my life. And it's an opportunity to find out why they believe what they believe and try to, dialogue from that particular point.
That's right.
That's such a great point. All right, we'll grab a call or two. Elsie is in Illinois. Elsie, good afternoon.
Yes. This is Elsie Morrissey from Illinois. And I was just turned down to invite a pro-life man, a Knight of Columbus, who even has pro-life on his literature, from coming to a weekend fundraiser for Cinco de Mayo that they were doing at their church, because we can't have any politician come. I said, the person he's running against wants abortion to birth and beyond. And every other thing, vote for fentanyl, vote for everything. If he doesn't, but the Catholic Church is absolutely scared to death to promote the things they say they believe.
Well, you know, we're fortunate that the Catholic teaching on abortion is so clear and that we've had such strong statements, not only from past leaders like St. Pope John Paul II, but even currently. I mean, Pope Francis has been an outspoken advocate for the pro-life cause and seems to really get, the value of life in the womb. But I think, it doesn't always make it down to the parish level. And there's some parishes we know that are on fire for the pro-life cause and others where the pastors may be reluctant for one reason or another. But, I really like to put the emphasis on what we can do. And that's why I think this handbook is so important. You might get stymied by the pastor when you want to invite a pro-life speaker, but you'll never be stymied if you're just having a conversation with your pro-choice family member or friend, say that I want to remove these roadblocks. Right. Let's not rely on the institution to do the job for us.
So let's talk about how you do that with this book. And Elsie, just one follow-up to two things. I remember Joe Biden was denied Holy Communion by a South Carolina priest. I think it was back in 2019. Archbishop Cordeleone has done the same thing with former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. There's been a lot of bishops and priests who are very passionately and eloquently have spoken the truth about where the Catholic Church stands on the issue of life. And I don't think there's a greater champion of life than the Catholic Church in this country. I know some people get frustrated by certain priests or administrators or things along those lines. I'm not a fan of broad brushing. And, you know, I, as a Catholic, I would take a bullet for somebody else. I'd lay my life down for my brother, and I do that for the unborn as well. And I think we all should. And, you know, pray for that priest. And then if she was in this situation, so she's frustrated right now, right? If I had your little sharing the pro-life message and I say, okay, I want to bring this person in, and you heard her story, what would you reference in this? And how do you answer those questions? How do you resolve those obstacles?
Well, I think, you know, if you're trying to just generally introduce the pro-life issue to somebody, we have a section of this handbook that you really want to start with. The first section is called, you know, after the how to share the message, you know, how to dialogue effectively. There's the section on life in the womb. The more that we understand about life in the womb, the more that we can tell people startling facts about what's going on with the unborn child growing inside the mother. You know, like, for example, you know, brain waves can be detected. Neural activity can be detected just 6 weeks after conception. Fingernails are forming at 9 weeks after conception. These are, you know, really arresting details for people. And so I think you want to start by learning about the life of the child, and I really emphasize that. And you know, and just sharing basically what is the pro-life message. You know, an unborn child is a human being whose life has value and deserves to be protected by our society. Something that I like to bring up with people, you know, especially when I'm talking to pro-choice friends. You know, I've talked to people about my work. There's people that you do other hobbies with and things that are concerned about it. I say, look, man. You and I both began our lives as a tiny little zygote in our mother's bodies. You know, we floated down the fallopian tube. Mm. That was you. That was me. It was all of our genetic material. It was, you know, in miniature. It was all there ready to unfold, yep. Striving towards life. You spent 9 months of your life passing through that stage of zygote, embryo, fetus, and then finally neonate, a brand new newborn baby. Making it personal is really the key. Making it personal.
All right, let's grab another call or two. We'll go to Brittany. She's in Buckeye, Arizona. Hi, Brittany.
Hi, good afternoon. I have a quick question. So with the overturning of Roe and it becoming more of a state's issue, and I live in Arizona, so there's a lot of money and a lot of interest groups coming in to push things towards furthering abortion here in Arizona as our law was a little more conservative, and they're working and chipping away at it and getting these ballot measures put forth, and our governor has done some pretty awful things. Yeah. But with that said, there are a lot of wonderful individuals and groups fighting against this, speaking with legislators and things like that. However, how do we, when it seems like this David versus Goliath sort of situation, reach out to these legislators and just, we have a lot that are conservative and some that are Catholic too, that have gone against the church's teaching and have voted in favor of these more lenient abortion measures. So how do we kind of, as individuals and as groups, go against and help our legislators realize that this is, you know, a much bigger issue.
Well, I'm going to refer to page 37 of Sharing the Pro-Life Message. This is the most powerful piece of information and approach to the issue that I've found over the last 2 years. The issue of unwanted and coercive abortions. The question on page 37 is, how often are women coerced into getting abortions? Women often report they feel pressured to get an abortion by others in their lives. Boyfriends, pastors, even parents, teachers, A 2023 study found that only 33% of women described their abortions as wanted, while 43% said the abortion was inconsistent with their values or preferences, and 24%, nearly a quarter, described their abortions as unwanted or even coerced. 60% of women in this study said that they would have not have gotten the abortion if they had more financial security or support from others. So those legislators, even the Catholic ones, are sometimes thinking, well, you know, desperate situation. I can't tell people what to do. You know, let people have their liberty and live and let live. Mind your own business. Well, sometimes minding your own business means, you know, condemning a woman to an abortion that she does not want. Friends, 2/3 of women getting abortions at a minimum say that it's against their values, but they feel they have no choice. And 10% of them are saying those abortions are coerced. Someone's forcing them with a threat of violence or loss of health insurance, loss of housing, in order to get that abortion. When you can present that to your, like, fence-sitting Catholic legislator or conservative or pro-lifer who's not sure where they stand on a particular piece of legislation, that'll give them strength, because they'll realize, I'm not just saying to a whole bunch of women, you don't get to do this, your body's not yours, blah, blah, blah. You're saying to millions of women, you don't have to go through with this thing that you don't want to do. We're going to give you help. We're going to enshrine in our law that your child's life has value, and that your life and your motherhood has value. You have a right to motherhood that we're taking away with this high pressure to get abortions. I think that issue, unwanted abortion, is key.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And to Brittany's other question or point, how do they stop those bigger things happening in the states? I mean, what do you do? I mean, you saw what happened in Ohio. That was a shocker. A lot of constitutional amendments, things along those lines. Yeah. Is it supporting pro-life groups? I'm sure that's part of it. It's probably not one thing. What are some of the things individuals can do that can maybe just tilt the scales in favor of life and away from legislating this culture of death?
Well, I think we really have to be well-informed, and we have to get ourselves and get our minds in the mindset of those who are supporting abortion. And that's challenging. It's the toughest part of my job is sharing with pro-life, strong pro-life, especially pro-life Catholics. I mean, we pray the Hail Mary, blessed is the fruit of your womb.
Yeah, right.
The womb is a sacred place for us, right? So it's very much of a challenge to get yourself into the mindset of your average normie. Yeah. Who mostly supports abortion for certain reasons early in pregnancy and so forth. And, you know, that's an incredible challenge. But we have to be able to, if you cannot articulate the case for legal abortion, you're not going to really be able to engage folks there.
So how do people get this little, it's a little book, like I said, it fits in the palm of my hand.
It's 3.5 inches by 5.5 inches.
So 3.5 by 5.
Perfect pocket size. We wanted it to fit in a pocket.
That's perfect. And like I said, I mean, I really don't endorse things unless I believe in them. And I think this is great. Pro-choice arguments, questions of the law, Planned Parenthood, help in action would be a great thing for Brittany's last call, abortion facts, life in the womb. All these little chapters with all these quick little tidbits that arm you in how to dialogue and to really exchange. Maybe you got a family member. Maybe it's a brother, a sister, a kid. You know, read through this, you know, and if they ask you a question, I learned a very important lesson in broadcasting one time. A friend of mine, He was a producer on the show, and I got hit with a question one time, and I didn't really know the answer to it. And he says to me, if that ever happens again, he says, when it's over, go and make sure that never, ever happens again. Learn the answer to that particular question. Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing in life, you know? So if somebody asks you something, you're like, I don't know how to answer that.
Well, yeah, that's one of my tips. That's one of my tips, Drew. Admit when you don't have the answers.
Like, I don't really know the answer, but I'll get back to you on
that. It makes you sound more credible when you admit you don't know, and then you come back later with the information.
And it's humble. It's like, I don't have the answers to everything. You know, I do my best, and if I am wrong, I'll apologize. And if I don't have the answer, I'll try to get it and be always accurate. Cincinnati, Ohio is next. Mary, thanks for joining us.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to shed some light. You made a comment about what happened in Ohio. And my understanding is, so Ohio had no exception for rape and incest. Mm-hmm. And so there was a huge ad campaign, especially one particularly heart-wrenching from a young girl, well, she was a teenager now, who had been raped repeatedly by her dad. Wow. And then you can imagine how the ad went, those kind of ads. But that one in particular played over and over and over again.
Ugh,
and honestly, I don't really know what to do with that myself. I had understood that rape and incest was only 1%. or like of the abortions. Mm-hmm. And one way I felt like, was it really worth hanging your hat? Because now it's the barn door is open in Ohio for everything.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to do with that myself. And I just wanted to see if you had some any insight.
And Mary, it's I'm glad you called. I'm going to let Eric respond to that. In fact, maybe we should take a break and come back and dive in. That deserves more in just a couple of minutes. Because this is what you're going to see coming in the weeks ahead. Democrats are going to camp out on life. It's a winning, or on abortion. It's a winning mantra for them. We've seen it in the midterms. You saw it in your own state, in Ohio, with your constitutional amendment. And it's tough. If your daughter's raped, if somebody is incest, if the life of the mother's in the case, what are the percentages of all abortions before they become hard cases? Rape is 0.3%, incest is 0.3%, and protection of the mother is 0.1%. That came out of this little booklet that I have here. Easy, quick fact to get to. How do you deal with it? We'll address that when we come back. So if you want to join us, one line open is 888-914-9149. If you're on hold, we will take your calls. Eric will answer all your questions as we're exploring the pro-life message and how to answer these very difficult and challenging questions. Stay with us.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
With flexible premium life insurance by sponsor Catholic Order of Foresters, a 40-year-old can get $1 million coverage for under $19 monthly. Go to relevantradio.com/Forester. That's relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society. Not available in all states.
Hey guys, got something I want to share with you. Many of you guys know my stance. I'm a pro-life person. I'm for saving the preborn, right? And sometimes I feel like people, they might get offended at that only because when I say I'm pro-life, they sometimes might misconstrue that as I am against the ladies who have the babies. Let me tell you this, I'm pro-baby and pro-mama 100% of the way. If you're watching this and you've had an abortion, know this, that you are loved, you are accepted, and you have a place at the table, and Jesus's blood can wash away that wound and scar. But I want to tell you this, there are 2,363 babies aborted every day in America. That's over 860,000 a year. And listen, I believe that with God's help, that we can fight for life and fight for freedom for these babies.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. And thank you for your patience. I know sometimes you call and you have to wait to get on the air. I'm going to do my best to get you on. I'm speaking today with Eric Scheidler from a wonderful organization, and I hope you will check them out. I hope you'll support them. I hope you'll pick up their book, Sharing the Pro-Life Message, prolifeaction.org. And not just Eric, but any pro-life ministry around the country, and there are many of them. You know, we have a duty, I think, as Catholics, as Christians, as citizens of this country, to defend the most vulnerable amongst us. You know, I would have supported the abolitionist movement in the day when slavery was rampant. I hope you would have too, and I hope you'll certainly support the cause of life. So you can check out prolifeaction.org. Great organization. They just came out with a book. One of the great ways to support them is by picking up this little book. It's called Sharing the Pro-Life Message, and it's a little pocketbook. I keep it on my desk here in the studio, it's awesome to have in your house, especially if you've got loved ones who may disagree with you on the issue of life or in vitro or the abortion pill or rape or incest or life of the mother arguments. If people want to get it, the best way to get it, Eric, is how?
If you go to prolifeaction.org, actually just go to the website, there'll be a pop-up right there. If you don't see the pop-up, click on the activism store. We have an online shop where you can buy all kinds of materials, all kinds of flyers and protest signs and other materials, prayer books. Yeah. This handbook is only $5. It's packed with information. It's 132 pages now, 132 pages, a little bit expanded after Roe v. Wade. $5, that includes shipping. So $5, you're out the door and you're on your way to being a good advocate.
Buy 20 of them and give them away.
That's right.
Give them away. Put them in your church. Hand them to somebody who could use them. You don't know how life will be changed. Our last caller, and I want to get to the phones here.
Ohio.
From Ohio. And they had that constitutional amendment. And the Dems ran this horrible story. And there are a number of those that are in rotation about either rape or life of the mother or incest. And a lot of people, they might be pro-life until it comes to that situation. Well, if a 15-year-old girl's raped, or if a 13-year-old's been, she's a victim of incest, should she have to carry that the rest of her life is one of the arguments you hear.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure how important that particular issue really was in Ohio. It certainly got people talking. Yep. It got people thinking. It made us, to a large extent, look irrationally or unreasonable and unfair and cruel. But the most important determiner in whether someone, I mean, a lot of pro-life people in Ohio voted for issue one, which means they voted for abortion to be in their constitution.
Crazy.
What was the difference between the pro-life people that voted for and the pro-life people that voted against? Pro-life people who voted for issue one, for abortion, knew someone who had had one. Mm. The pro-life people who voted against issue one did not know somebody who had had one. Yeah. This is telling us something. We need to tell different stories. We were trying to tell the story of, well, this is going to be harmful to women in these certain ways, or this is going to be harmful to parents because parents won't have the right to know if a minor daughter is getting an abortion and their daughters are going to be exposed to, you know, predation in this way.
Yeah, right.
And the messaging should have been, and no fault to anybody, we're learning, right? But the messaging should have been about unwanted abortion, about all those women who've had abortions who regret them. If we were telling those stories so that the Amen. Pro-choice, the pro-life people who know someone who had an abortion will be able to recognize that my friend had an abortion, but in her heart of hearts, she didn't really want it. Her life might have been better or different if she hadn't done it that way. That's the key thing, telling those stories. I think Senator J.D. Vance really nailed what happened in Ohio. We saw it as the choice between abortion without limits, and I want to talk about this business of abortion till birth because I'm not sure we should be talking that way. But, you know, we saw it as a difference between abortion without limits, abortion up till birth, abortion for any reason whatsoever, or a more moderate policy. Everybody else saw this as a choice between either almost no abortion whatsoever, including in extreme cases of like a sepsis or the life of the mother is right. being threatened, or a case of rape or incest, or some abortion. They saw it as some versus none. We saw it as all versus some. That's an important distinction. We are not thinking the way that the rest of the country's thinking. It's we true. Have to learn how they're thinking. And that may mean that in a lot of cases, we're going to have to swallow some of these exceptions, like exceptions for rape and incest, which doesn't mean we're backing away from our defense of these children and our claim that they're brothers and sisters of ours who deserve to live. But it does mean that we're going to follow the teachings of the church. In Evangelium Vitae, it's made completely clear that we are allowed to choose policies and advocate for policies that will save lives without being perfect.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. So you're the mindset, it's better to win the battle and ultimately to win the war than lose all the battles and remain.
Well, we know we're not going to have victory this side of the grave, right? This is a fallen world. We're always going to have sin.
Yeah.
We're always going to have poverty. We're always going to have abortion. Yeah. You know, we're not going to end these things. But
I hope abortion will end in this country like slavery did. I mean, I know that's why you fight for what you do.
Yeah. Well, you know, slavery ended, and then blacks were kept in position, servitude and functional slavery for another several generations. It takes time to eradicate these horrors from our society.
I like your rational view. I do. And I'm glad you're speaking that way. Lisa is in Nashville, Tennessee. Lisa, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call and Eric for doing what you do. I just wanted to speak to that woman in Ohio who said, you know, she kind of didn't know what to do with that idea of what to do if somebody had been raped. I was given up for adoption 55 years ago, and my mother was a victim of rape.
Wow.
And she was actually already a single mother at the time, and it was a date rape. And they didn't really have a name for it back then, but, you know, it was forced. And she kind of didn't know what to do, but she knew that she had to have me, and she knew that she couldn't take care of me. So I don't think there were really a whole lot of options back then as far as, you know, I mean, like they didn't have a lot of programs in place to support, you know, anybody in that instance. And there's so much more available to women now. And I'm just saying if my mom could have done that, you know, 55 years ago, if she could do it, there's so much more available to women today who are in that circumstance. And she knew even back then, she said, you know, the baby, like me, you know, helps. You know, why would you take the life of a child? It's still a baby. It's still a child. It's still alive. You know, and And we're innocent victims in that sense, you know?
Lisa, your testimony to your mother's courage and into life, and I'm so glad that you speak out about it. Because you're right to your point there. Abortion takes the life of a living human being, period. And the circumstance of how that child came into being, how it was created, okay, maybe it was criminal, right? But the life of that newly created human being is just as valuable as you and me, as any other person. Killing the child of a criminal who committed sexual assault, like rape, that's not the solution. You don't punish the child. You don't kill the child for the crime of the perpetrator there. Well, so, you know, I think it's such an important issue that often gets overlooked.
You know, Lisa, thank you for sharing that story. And you know, I think sharing stories like yours is so powerful. That story of, you know, when someone says, well, what about abortion cases of rape or incest? Yep. And you can say, hey, my father was a rapist. Are you saying I shouldn't exist because of his crime?
Right.
My mother, in a very difficult circumstance, had the love and the foresight to place me for adoption, and I'm able to tell this story to you now. Those stories of children who were conceived in rape are so powerful. These personal stories, you know. And on page 52 of Sharing the Pro-Life Message, which you can get at prolifeaction.org, we address this issue of abortion in the cases of rape and incest. And one point I'd like to highlight here, because we haven't touched on it yet, especially when it comes to the case of incest, where there's an abusive relationship going on, or even, you know, a case where there's like a gym teacher or somebody like that who's abusing a minor girl. Yeah. Abortion in such a case as that is actually a way of perpetuating the victimhood.
Yeah.
The perpetrator takes the woman. I mean, we know this happens. There's some horror stories of young girls who were brought from Indiana into Illinois for abortions, so that the perpetrator wouldn't get caught, able to get rid of all the evidence and continue to victimize that kid.
Wow.
You know, so it seems obvious that you'd want to have this stopgap in the case of rape and incest, but in fact, you can end up perpetrating the misery.
It's so true. You know, women, even those who are victims of sexual assault, have reported years later emotional, psychological, all sorts of other difficulties as a result of that abortion. To your point,
they get victimized. It's often harder for them to overcome than, believe it or not, than the sexual assault.
Yeah, so it didn't solve their problem. It created an additional problem. Mm-hmm. So we need to get this right. I mean, it's so frustrating to me. Kathy in Anaheim, California, thank you for your patience. Good afternoon.
Hi there. I wanted to ask a question about the actual handbook.
Sure.
Is it geared specifically for we who want to hold the conversation with someone else, or is this something I can give to someone who holds opposing views?
That's a great
question. And not feel offended by that.
That's a great question, Kathy. This book is very much designed for the pro-lifer. This will empower you to be an advocate, and it speaks, you know, the answers are speaking to you as a pro-life person, saying, here's how you should approach this question. However, we were very careful when we wrote this book to write it in a way that it would be accessible to a pro-choice person. And my hope is that and we've seen this happen, when a pro-choice person reads this book, if they flip through it, they will see that we care about being honest. They will see that we care about engaging with people without rancor. They will see that we care about women and their fate. They will see that our concern for the unborn child is totally sincere, that we're not out to control people's bodies, that we do care about babies once they're born and all those other things. So yeah, the audience, it's not targeted to the pro-choice person. It's targeted to the pro-lifer who's engaging with the pro-choice person, but it will work for a pro-choice person to learn where we're coming from on things.
Right. And I want to encourage other people to buy more in bulk. The more you buy, if you buy 50 and pass them out in parishes in your area, they're down to like $2.20 each or something. They're really inexpensive.
That's great.
I love it.
Hey, Kathy, thank you. And you're in Anaheim. I love it. Let me give you the phone number, too, for Pro-Life Action League. And correct me if I'm wrong on this. 630-896-1200. That's everybody has access to the internet. They might just want to say, hey, can you send me these books? 630-896-1200, prolifeactionleague.com or .org again?
Prolifeaction.org.
Prolifeaction.org. Sounds great. And the book is called Sharing the Pro-Life Message. And again, I I think it's pretty cool. It fits in your pocket. I have it laying here on the studio desktop for any of my colleagues to reference too. But there's sections on everything from Planned Parenthood to questions of the law to the pro-choice arguments to the facts. I mean, I love that section. I mean, facts, I think, speak volume to life in the womb, to how to share the message. There's lots of great tidbits. And it's short, easy to read. You know, leave it.
Yeah, it's an attractive book. It's four color. It's full color. It's got tabs. Each color coded sections. Yep. You know, you're talking about Planned Parenthood when you're in the pink section.
Yeah, right.
You know, questions of law is in gray, and then we've got a great expanded section at the end called Help in Action. That's in great. Green, and it's about, okay, so you've had a conversation with your friend. What if they now need some help? They're like, you know what? I had an abortion. I feel bad about it. What do I do?
Yeah.
This handbook has the answer. Or maybe you yourself. You've been engaging with this issue. You find out that you've got some passion for it. What can I do next? Maybe you could go pray at an abortion clinic. Maybe you could join us on the front lines at a vigil. The things that you can do practically in your community to become more engaged are in the back of this book.
And again, it supports a good pro-life organization, like Pro-Life Action. Well, Dave in New Mexico, good afternoon. Oh, I'm sorry. David, hold the thought. I'll tell you what, I got to take a quick break. My producer's telling me I'm up against the clock. So stand by. When we come back, we'll grab your call. And if you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on. We're speaking with Eric Scheidler from Pro-Life Action League. And our conversation will continue with more right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected. Connected. Relevant Radio.
Hey, today we'd like to thank Viviana, who's listening in California, for donating her 1975 Mercedes-Benz 450. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
Not if you believe it's murder. You know, that's why I don't understand the 15-week thing. Or the Trump's plan is, let's leave it to the states. You mean, so killing babies is okay in some states? Like, I can respect the absolutist position. I really can. I scold the left on when they say, oh, you know what? They just hate women. People who aren't pro-life, pro-choice, they don't hate women. They just made that up. They think it's murder. And it kind of is. I'm just okay with that.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Bill Maher, right? His recent comments on abortion, saying things that most pro-abortion people would never say. Abortion is taking the innocent life of a human being. But he's okay with that. Bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. David is in New Mexico. We'll jump back to the phones. David, good afternoon.
Yes, thank you, Drew, for everything you do.
Thank you.
I just want to say it'd be good to have some company, you know, some organization. They need to draw up like a billboard showing, say, 10, 12 reasons. The dangers, there's just thousands of things wrong with this situation, but the average person, they don't want to sit there and read all the, you know, a pamphlet, but if they could come up with, like, say, 10 top reasons, you know, 100% true proof, so people could be more educated, and they could maybe, you know, open their eyes to see what's going on here, because it's just like, just everybody just, you know, just looking the other way, or, you know, no big deal if they're, you know, if Joe does it, I'm going to do it too, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. But to me, there's not much education. There's consequences, and the women seem like they're not educated to realize what's going to go on. I mean, I'm just a listener. I've been hearing so much, and it's so true. The dangers, the health reasons, the things that women go through after this happens, suicide, cancer, et cetera, et cetera. You know where I'm going with this. But I think somebody needs to put a billboard with 10 or 12 top reasons to maybe slap him in the face and say, look, this is going to happen to you if you choose this.
Yeah,
I like to do what Jesus said, reap what you sow.
Yeah, David, let me hold you on that thought there, and I'm going to let Eric respond because we only have a few minutes. I want to make sure I get a few more phone calls in. But, you know, he's talking about taking billboards out. I mean, I think we need to support all sorts of pro-life organizations. Yep. I think we need to vote. Life, I think it's got to be the top of the pyramid. I think we need to, you know, make sure we're personally well-formed on this issue and not be, you know, sticking our heads in the sand and thinking, someone else will fight the battle.
Well, it's a tough one. The life issue is not easy to put into a nutshell, right? I mean, a billboard, you get about six or seven words on a billboard before the driver's gone on by. And You know, we've done billboards. We have one up in Kansas City right now that says, looking for a sign? This is it. Cancelmyabortion.com.
Wow.
And we've got bumper stickers with that exact same message on it. So all the different ways of reaching people we're employing and we're using. But my message today is that we can't rely on a billboard somewhere. We can't rely on a pamphlet somewhere. We have to have our own conversations with that coworker who, you know, the abortion issue comes up. So many strong pro-life people are afraid to talk about the issue. They're afraid to talk about it. They're afraid they'll be judged. They'll lose friends. They'll be embarrassed. They won't know what to say. We can deal with all those issues. Yeah. If you talk about this issue winsomely, if you show people that you're not going to be judgmental and harsh with them, that you have some information to share, and maybe sometimes you don't have every answer and you have to come back to them later, and all the different ways of talking that this handbook will present to you, that will make the difference. Amen. We can do an end run around the media and all the disinformation if each of us gets involved. Amen. And isn't afraid to have that conversation. You get this handbook and look through it, and you will not be afraid to have those conversations.
ProLifeAction.org. You can check it out. It's called Sharing the Pro-Life Message, and thanks for putting it together. I think it's a great tool. Rose in Miami, Florida, thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me, and your program's always so wonderful.
Oh, thanks, Rose.
I really enjoy it. I hear it every single day. My sister put me onto your program. Your guest today is fabulous.
Oh, thanks.
I'm telling you, if we could have one of him in every high school to speak to the children that are in the schools so that they could get a little bit more educated on the problem with abortion. I mean, I don't know as an adult why other adults don't see that they're killing a baby. It's just, I don't get it because I have a lot of common sense, I guess. But I'm thinking to myself, boy, you're killing babies and you're still talking about that they have a right to go out, do whatever the heck they want, have a good time, enjoy it, get pregnant, and then just go and get an abortion and kill somebody. I think it's horrible. And I think it begins in high school. I think that they should show movies like they show movies of everything about how to have sex and how to do this and how to do that. They should show movies on what an abortion really is, and partial birth abortion where they rip the brains out of those babies.
You know what, Rose? I mean, Eric, I'll have to bring you back to talk about that particular issue that Rose is bringing up, because you have a – what's the title of it? Is it the Truth Tour? I mean, what's the –
Yeah, we have our Face the Truth Tour, where we go out into the public square and we actually show the pictures. I mean,
that's controversial. A lot of people disagree with it.
But we've picked pictures that are less of the on the gory, shocking side and more on the sympathetic, sad side. We want to make people sympathize. We have one picture. It's just a foot, and it's not even a bloody foot. It's just the way the foot looks like from when a baby's been aborted. Yeah. And the caption says, "She'll never learn to walk." Yeah. We want to make it personal.
Let's have you back, and we'll address that issue in greater detail. But to Rose's point, I was just wondering, if she was making her case, how young is too young to start teaching the pro-life message, or, you know, what was the obligation of our educational institutions?
Well, you know, my good friend Ryan Bomberger from the Radiance Foundation.
Yeah, great guy.
You know, he is himself the conceived in rape, right? He was placed for adoption and has a beautiful family, brothers and sisters. He's adopted some kids himself. And he and his wife have put some books together for teaching your kids about abortion. You know, I'm a pro-life activist. My kids have known about abortion since they were little kids. I can't remember the first time I saw an abortion victim photo. I was 6 years old at my first pro-life event. So I don't think there is an age that's too early. Children are resilient, and I think if we have to err in one direction, we should err on the side of bringing our kids out and getting them involved.
Maria's got a question for you about your book. Hi, Maria in Evanston, Illinois. Good afternoon.
Hi, Eric.
Hello.
I was wondering, by any chance, did that booklet come in Spanish?
Oh, great question.
Great question. I wish that it could. At this point, we've had some interest in translating it. The problem with Spanish is that it is so much bigger. I mean, 132-page booklet is 160 pages in Spanish.
Wow.
And each question fits onto a facing page. So we haven't solved the problem of how to make it work in a language that is so voluminous as Spanish. We don't have it in Spanish yet, but I hope we will someday.
Rudy in Buena Park, California. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Two things, actually. One, being a male, I learned a lot from trending with Trumi about the chemical abortion stuff.
Yeah.
She does a wonderful job.
She does.
And then two is my lovely bumper stickers that I get response ones. One of them is Smile, Your Mom Chose Life. And the other one is You Can't Be Both, Catholic and Pro-Choice.
Amen to that, brother. Hey, I love it. I got to hold you on that, Randy, because I got about a minute left. I'm sorry, Patrick, say that again to me. All right. Hey, Rudy, I'm going to bring you back online here. My producer says you have a joke to tell. Very quickly, because I only have about 30 seconds for you.
Oh, based on my bumper stickers, I've been taught that I'm number one by the international finger from people about my bumper stickers.
That is funny. Thanks, Rudy. Eric, final thoughts from you as we wrap up our conversation today.
Well, you know, I would recommend everybody go to the website shoutyourabortion.com and look at some of the stories, because there is a lot of misery out there, and we need to get our head, we need to understand where people are coming from. It's too easy to think of people as just selfish and going around, sleeping around and hitting abortions and not caring. They do care. People are sleeping around because they're desperate for connection. Yeah. People are lonely. They're desperate. They're miseducated, and we need to understand where they're coming from.
Eric, thanks. Thanks for all you do. The booklet is called Sharing the Pro-Life Message. It's 132 pages, you said. And believe me, it'll be a great little resource for you. Keep it in the glove box of your car or at home, or bring it to your church. Share with others. You can get it at prolifeaction.org, prolifeaction.org. We'll bring it back. We only got to a fraction of our telephone calls here. And by the way, thank you for waiting so long. Appreciate you tuning in and allowing me to be part of your afternoon. I'll be back again tomorrow to give you another look at life you will not find anywhere else. Until our paths then cross, I'll be praying for you. Have a blessed day. We'll talk soon.